Jillian had gone on her own inspection of the boat a few hours back, while Metz and Takana Jim were still packing. She had taken a few additional precautions that nobody else knew about. Who's going with them?
3 volunteers, all of them strange Stenos. All males. We searched them down to their penile sheaths. They're clean. All in the longboat now, ready to go.
Jillian nodded.
Then, for better or worse, let's get them out of here so we can get on with other things.
Mentally, she had already begun rehearsing what she had to tell Hikaki. Chapter 61 Hikaki and Suesi.
Remember, she told Tisht and Suesi, maintain radio silence at all cost, and try to keep those crazy Fen in the wreck from eating up all the supplies in the first few days,
Tisht signaled assent with a jaw clap, although her eyes were heavy with reservation. Suesi said,
Are you sure you won't let one of us come with you?
I'm sure if I encounter disaster, I want no more lives lost. If I find survivors, I might need every bit of room. In any event, the skiff runs itself, essentially. All I have to do is watch it.
You can't fight while piloting, Hannes pointed out.
If I had a gunner along, I might be tempted to fight. This way, I have to run away. If Streaker is dead or captured, I must be able to return the skiff to you here, or you'll all be doomed.
Suesi frowned, but found he had to agree with her reasoning.
He was thankful Hikaki had stayed as long as she had, letting them use the skiff's power to finish preparing a habitat inside the wreck.
We're all worried about Streaker and the captain, he thought, but Hikaki must be in agony.
All right, then. Goodbye and good luck, Hikaki. May Ifni's boss watch over you.
The same to both of you.
Hikaki took Suesi's hand gently between her jaws, then did the same with Tisht's left pectoral fin. Tisht and Suesi left through the skiff's small airlock. They backed their sled toward the yawning opening in the sunken alien battleship. A low whine spread from the skiff as power came on. The sound echoed back to them from the mammoth sea cliff that towered over the crash site. The tiny space vessel began to move slowly eastward, picking up speed underwater. Hikaki had chosen a roundabout route, taking her far out before swinging back in an arc to Streaker's hiding place. This would keep her out of touch for as long as a couple of days, but it would also mean that her point of origin could not be traced if an enemy lay in wait where Streaker had been. They watched until the boat disappeared into the gloom. Long after Suesi ceased hearing anything, Tisht waved her jaw slowly back and forth, following the diminishing sound. 2 hours later, as Hannes was lying down for his first nap in his new dry quarters, the makeshift intercom by his pallet squawked.
Not more bad news, he sighed.
Lying in the darkness with one arm over his eyes, he touched the comm.
What? He said simply.
It was Lucky Ka, the young electronics tech and junior pilot. His voice fizzed with excitement.
Sir, Tisht says you should come quickly. It's the ship.
Suesi rolled over onto one elbow.
Streaker?
Yes. The line just reopened. They want to talk to Hikaki right away.
All of the strength went out of Suesi's arms. He slumped back and groaned. Oh, frabjous day. By now she's well out of sonar speak range. At times like these, I wish I'd talk dolphin jabber like Tom Orley. Maybe Trinary could express something properly ironic and vulgar about the way the universe works. Chapter 62 Exiles. The longboat slid smoothly through the port and out into the twilight blue of Kithrop's ocean.
You're going the wrong way, Ignacio Met said after the iris closed behind them. Instead of turning east, the boat spiraled upward.
Just a small detour, Dr. Metz, Takata Jim soothed.
Sneak-a-Joe! Tell Streaker I'm adjusting the trim.
The dolphin on the co-pilot's ramp began whistling to his counterpart on the ship. The sonar speak squawked back angrily. Streaker also had noticed the change in course.
Metz's seat was above and behind Takata Jim's. The water level came up to his waist.
What are you doing? He asked.
Just getting used to the controls.
Well, watch out. You're headed straight for the detection buoys.
Metz watched, amazed, as the craft sped toward the crew of dolphins, dismantling the listening devices. The work fin scattered out of the way, cursing shrilly as the boat crashed into the tethered buoys. Metal smithereens clattered along its prow and fell into blackness. The sonar speak squawked. Dr. Metz blushed. Good fin person shouldn't use language like that. Takata Jim seemed oblivious. He calmly turned the small ship around and piloted it at a sedate pace eastward toward their island destination. The longboat drove down a narrow canyon, leaving the brightly lit subsea veil and Streaker behind it.
Tell them it was an accident, Takata Jim told his co-pilot.
The trim was out of line, but now we've got it under control. We're proceeding underwater to the island as ordered.
Accident my hairy Uncle Fred scrotum!
The words were followed by a sniggering laugh from the back of the control room.
You know, I kind of figured you wouldn't leave without destroying the incriminating evidence first, Takata Jim.
Dr. Metz struggled with his straps to turn around. He stared.
Charles Dart, what are you doing here?
Perched on a shelf in a storage locker, whose door was now open, a space-suited chimpanzee grinned back at him.
Why, exercising a teeny-tiny bit of initiative, Dr. Metz. Now, you be sure and note that in your records. I want to be given credit for it.
He broke into a shrieking giggle, amplified by his suit speaker. Takata Jim twisted about on his ramp to regard the chimp for a moment. He snorted and turned back to his piloting. Charlie visibly screwed up his nerve to slide out of the cabinet into the water, even though none of it could touch him through the spacesuit. He floundered in the liquid up to his helmet ring.
But how? Metz started to ask.
Charlie hefted a large, heavy, waterproof sack from the locker to a man seat next to Metz.
I used deductive reasoning, he said as he climbed up. I figured Jillian's boys would only be watching out for misbehaving by a few grumbling stenos. So, thought I, why not get to the longboat by a route they wouldn't even think of watching?
Metz's eyes widened.
The sleeve? You crawled into one of the sealed maintenance ways that the builders used on Earth and made your way to the boat's access panels, down by the thrust motors. Righto!
Charlie beamed as he buckled his seatbelt.
You probably had to remove some plates in the sleeve wall using a jack pry. No dolphin could manage such a thing in an enclosed space. So they didn't think of it. No, they didn't.
Metz looked Charlie up and down.
You passed pretty close to the thrusters. Did you get cooked? My suit rad meter says raw to medium rare.
Charlie mocked, blowing on his fingertips. Metz grinned.
I shall indeed take note of this rare display of ingenuity, Dr. Dart. And welcome aboard. I'll be too busy anyway inspecting the Kikwi to take proper care of that robot of yours.
Now you can do it right.
Dart nodded eagerly.
That's why I'm here.
Excellent. Perhaps we can have a few games of chess as well.
I'd like that.